the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons.
This is Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM, Catholic Radio.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Healing of the Whole Person on WFSI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. My name is Father John Grigas. I am the rector of the Shrine of St. Max and Colby at Marytown in Libertyville, Illinois. In today's live episode of Healing of the Person, we will talk about pornography, the evils of pornography, and how to actually become free of it. And we'll also be able to take your live phone calls. The number to call is 224-585-9734. Again, it's 224-585-9734. This is the first time that we're really launching this beautiful program, so it's a kind of an experiment for us. Let's begin as we always do, as we always should, with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you may bless us, O Lord God. Grant us the fullness of your grace and the gift of your Holy Spirit, so that all that is said by myself and the interaction that happens between myself and the listeners and the listeners is truly from you. This is on the healing of the whole person. Let our listeners be touched through the grace of the healing in a way that they need to be. Mother Mary, we place this under your patronage because your heart is fully open to receive Jesus, especially as we now celebrate this Advent season in preparation for Christmas. So open our hearts to be fully receptive as well, so that they may be pure, clean, and a beautiful receptacle for the presence of Jesus, that we ourselves may be transformed into him and become the presence for those in need. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. I'd like to start by quoting the sixth beatitude from Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Just listen to the words. They are so beautiful. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Purity of heart is what Jesus calls us to. And in this beatitude, he states that it is necessary to see God, to have purity of heart in order for us to see God. So that when we are in sin, any kind of sin, but especially the sin of impurity, unchastity, it is not possible to see God. And when we're talking about seeing God, we're not talking about physical eyes. We're really talking about our souls, our spirits. It's difficult for us to pray, to have union with God, when our souls are filled with filth and dirt, when they are not cooperating with God's eternal plan for us and the dignity that is given to us as sons and daughters of God. And yes, if we live in the state through this life, it does involve not being able to see God in eternity. And none of us want that, because that is forever and ever. Heaven or hell is forever and ever. And so we already have to think about our ultimate goal right now, so that we begin to live our lives in preparation for that goal. One day the Lord will take us from this world. He will close our eyes to this world. All that we treasure will be no more. We will be with God, and that will be the greatest of all gifts if we have lived according to His Word. I began to talk about the issue of pornography because it was such an issue that was coming up in the confessional, and I was saddened to see that no one was talking about it, and especially that it was not coming from the church itself. But last week, on November the 29th, the bishops of the United States actually decided to write an encyclical letter on pornography, and it was entitled Create in Me a Clean Heart, a Pastoral Response to Pornography. And I was so happy that it was finally being addressed. Some individual bishops have addressed it before, but now it is being addressed by the entire episcopate, and it is really time to do so because it is so pervasive. And one of the things that we need to know is the pervasiveness of pornography, because it is one of those sins that is hidden in the privacy of individual's life and home, in the secrecy of it, and so the danger of it is tremendous, of its impact upon the individual, his or her relationship with God, with his family, with society in general. What I would like to do is maybe take a few points from this episcopal letter and just review with you, because it's very, very rich in what it has to say. It probably will summarize some of the points that I've given in a talk when we had the healing of the whole person, but it's good to repeat anyway. the pastors of the church, the bishops, state that they want to offer this Episcopal letter to all of those who have been harmed by pornography so that they may be freed from it and to raise awareness of its pervasiveness and of its harms. And the awareness of this, again, comes from the confessional and in priest daily ministry with individuals and families where they have seen this problem become very pervasive and very corrosive in the way it damaged persons and it damaged relationships. It needs to be addressed especially because it has become an epidemic. Pornography in one way or another, as the sins of the flesh have always been a problem, but today they have escalated exponentially due to the internet and mobile technology. It has become available to anyone on the iPhones, on the iPads, on the computers, anywhere, for not only for adults, but for kids as well. And so it really has become not only a church issue, but also a public health crisis as well, as it causes so much distortion and illness that people suffer from. In order to begin to understand the church's teaching against pornography as well as other sexual perversions, we need to understand really our call from God as He has given to us to be human persons. We know from the book of Genesis that God created the human person, male and female, in His image and likeness as the crown of creation. And so every one of us is a gift with the inviolable dignity of a person. And in Christ, we recognize that giftedness even more, because Christ is the Son of God, but He's also become a human being. And in a human being, He's one with us to make us sons and daughters of God in a particular way. And so in Jesus Christ, we are especially beloved by God, our Heavenly Father. And this is the good news, that God is merciful and He is there to forgive us. He is there to heal us in Jesus Christ and the grace of the Holy Spirit. The scripture defines God as love. God is love, says 1 John 4:8. And if we have been made in the image of God, then somehow we have been made for love as well. Because each of us is created in the image of God, our vocation is a vocation of love and communion. And the sin of pornography distorts that because it actually treats the person not as a gift, but as an object to be used as a tool for one's own satisfaction. It leads to a tremendous sense of selfishness that can have devastating effect upon one's person, relationship, and so on. There's so much more that we can say, but we are running out of time. You are listening to Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. Again, my name is Father John Grigas. We have to take a short break right now, but when we return, we'll take your phone calls. So call now with your questions, 224-585-9734, 224-585-9734. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Joe Scheidler in Chicago. Want to learn some Latin? Well, here are three simple words that say it all. Ora et labora. That's the motto of the Benedictines, and that means pray and work. Pray for the 4,000 babies who will be cruelly killed in legal abortions today in American cities alone. But also work to end abortion. Pray and work. How do you work? Well, come out to an abortion clinic near you. Pray there, but also talk to the women going in. Offer them help. If you want to know how, give us a call. We're the Pro-Life Action League in Chicago. Call us at 773-777-2900. That's 773-777-2900. Or contact us at prolifeaction.org.
Are you retired or near retirement? you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Welcome back to WFSFI 88.5 Catholic Radio. My name again is Father John Griegas, Rector of Marytown, and we're launching a new program called Healing of the Whole Person, and specifically I'm here to talk about the issue of pornography. We'd like to interact with you, so please call us at 224-585-9734, 224-585-9734, and I will be more than happy to take any live questions that you have that are related to this topic. That's one of the beauty of being able to converse like this. That's spiritual direction over the waves, and it helps a lot of other people. So until we hear from you, I guess I'm asked to just keep on talking. So last time, before the break, we talked about God being love, and we are called in the image of God. Therefore, we are called for love. And women and men discover the call to love in their very bodies, as John Paul II, and now St. John Paul II, talked to us about. The body expresses in a visible way what's within the soul. We express it through our hands, through our lips, through our feet, through all that we are. And so the very body is very important for evangelization, very important for expressing the good news, very important for being able to bring others to Christ, or at the worst, leading them away from Christ along with ourselves. St. John Paul II referred to the spousal meaning of the body, and he talked about the body as having its own language, a language of gift and of communion of persons. One bodies tell us that we come from another, for example, that each of us is a son or daughter, and so we are in relationship to others from the very beginning of our existence. Our bodies also tell us that we are for another, so we come from another and we are for another, and particularly with a person of the opposite sex if we are called to marriage. Written in our bodies is a call to espousal, fruitful love. This is a call realized in marriage as well as in celibacy or virginity for the sake of the kingdom, because in marriage we are called to give ourselves to our spouses and together to form the church and to bring forth life. And in celibacy, such as I am also called to give myself to the church in an unselfish way. And so my own manhood is fulfilled in that way because I actually act as a father in a very real way in giving life. And that's the whole meaning of our call, of our vocation expressed through the body. This is not just an intention. It is an actual expression that we must live through our bodies. Because of the beautiful meaning and dignity communicated by our bodies then should be treated with the greatest of respect. They are not meant to be used, but they are meant to be loved. And the opposite of love, as St. John Paul II says, is not hate, but rather using a person as if he or she were an object. And this is the evil of pornography, that it uses the person as an object of one's own self-gratification, rather as a person to be loved and respected to enter into communion with. So we are now going to, again, ask for you to call if you wish, 224-585-9734. If you have any questions, perhaps you're struggling with the issue of pornography, maybe someone in your family is struggling with the issue, call and we will see how we can respond. Welcome. Yes.
Father.
Yes.
I just have a simple question. Is there some way that a parent or a grandparent could perhaps find warning signs for their children or their grandchildren if they're involved in pornography because of the unlimited use of iPhones and iPads?
Yes, definitely, and that's a very important topic because the kids are most vulnerable to this issue. In fact, statistics tell us that the average age that a child begins to see a pornographic image is 11, and sometimes as early as 7 and 8, and it has a devastating effect. It's very it hooks the person. It might begin with a sense of curiosity, but it's very contagious. It can lead to develop a strong bond that they cannot get away from. I would say some of the signs would be if you know that a child has a computer in their room and they're spending too much time on it, their grades fall, they become depressed, they become non-communicative in some way, or in some way even more vile than you expect them to be. If they're just not the son or their daughter or grandson or granddaughter that you knew them to be, then you ought to be suspicious what's going on. And it's very important to be able to talk to the child. And you don't address the child by accusing them of anything, but simply ask them, I'm just concerned. I'm your mom and dad or grandma, grandpa, whatever it is. And you've seen withdrawn lately, and I'm just concerned. Is there something going on? And let them see if they can share with you. If you can gain confidence, their confidence, and they can begin to talk with you about this, then that's half of the battle because it is already exposed. The deadliest aspect of pornography specifically is that it is not voice. It happens in the quiet, and therefore the person is enslaved to it and does not know how to get out of it.
Thank you, Father.
Sure. Again, please call 224-585-9734 if you have any questions regarding pornography. So again, we were talking last time about the dignity of the human person, that we are called to love. We are not called to use each other or ourselves as objects of pleasure. It just reduces the dignity of the person to the sexual organs. And that's not the whole meaning of the human person as we know. And so one of the virtues that we need to really strive for is chastity. Chastity is opposed to lust, which is an inordinate desire for sexual pleasure apart from the true meaning of sexuality and marital love. When you look at the original sin, that's exactly what happened. Adam and Eve, after original sin, start to put on fig leaves. Why? Because they began to... it's a symbolic way of protecting themselves from the abuse that they begin to experience through evil, and that abuse is also lust. Love that is meant to be a source of communion in which there's no shame turns into lust, and lust becomes very abusive, and so people have to protect themselves. But chastity actually is called to curb that sensuality. It's a gift from God, but it's also something that we must desire and strive to develop within our own self. The custody of the eyes that has been talked about in the past when we had the sisters teaching us. Now we don't talk about it, but it's very important because the eyes are the windows to the soul. What you see through the eyes, again, talking about the body and its language, enters into the human soul and begins to either build it up or begins to pollute it. And so important that we really stand guard over that. Along with chastity is modesty. And modesty has to do with how we dress. And so oftentimes people dress in a very skimpy way. I don't want to pick on ladies, but it is very true that sometimes the attire that is worn, even in church, is very suggestive. And people who have issues with pornography are very sensitive and can be deeply, deeply distracted by that. So you need to become aware of how you even dress your very body with the dignity and modesty that is required so that not only for your own self and your protection, but that you don't become an occasion of sin for other people.
Father, I have a question. Unlike the last caller, my question, I have a bunch of boy grandsons. What can I do as a grandmother to talk to them
and to not to preach to them, but to maybe alert them to this, you know, what the evils are out there. I mean, you know, they think, oh, this is Nana's propaganda or something, but talk to them in a real way to say, hey, boys, you know, do you have any ideas about that, Father?
Yes, believe me, children are aware of what's on the internet. They're aware of it through their iPhones, their iPads, so you're not uncovering any secret. They know about it already, and I think it's very important to be able to simply talk about it and say, this is what's out there in the world, this is what you will find, and these are the kind of websites that you cannot go to, and explain to them the reason, the values of why they cannot do that. And so we need to be educated in the faith, we need to be educated in solid psychology, and talk to them in love. You know, this is parenting is about. Parenting is not just feeding them physically and providing them with clothes, but it's also feeding the spirits and explaining the values that we stand upon as people of faith and trying to help them to understand it so they adopt those values and begin to live them out. So I think that we can address it simply by saying that this is what's in the world right now, and it's very pervasive, and I just, as a loving parent or grandparent, I just want to sit down and talk to you about these because I love you, because I want you to become aware of it in order to help you to protect yourself from this.
You know, Father, that sounds wonderful to me, but speaking to them, I have to kind of go to their level and in their language. And like if I say sins of the flesh, they might laugh at me, you know, like, so is there a way to bring up the whole subject, for instance, and just say, you know, there's a lot of dangers out there. How would you do that?
I think the more truthful you are, the better it is. You know, they're aware of the fact if you say that certain internet sites will promote to you images in which people are undressed or naked and they're doing terrible things. And those are very destructive, you know. We don't necessarily have to immediately put it in moral or spiritual terms, but the destructive to the human person, and it causes us to be selfish. It destroys how we look at women, how we look at men, and so on and so on. But I think they can understand the fact that they will find on the internet certain things that are very suggestive. People who have no clothes who are engaging in sexual acts that are not really healthy or pure and reasonable, and they know about that.
Okay, that helps. That's good, Father. Thank you.
Again, please call 224-585-9734 if you have any questions. 224-585-9734. We're talking about the issue of pornography and how it affects our lives, the lives of family and of loved ones. And I just want to also mention about pornography and marriage. It's a very important topic. And a lot of people think that, well, this is private act. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not stealing anything. And, you know, but it's not a private act because it affects you as a person. And you are in relationship with others whether you like it or not. And therefore, its negative effect upon you will have its consequences in the relationship that you are in. We have another call, so let's take that call right now. Yes, please.
Yes, Father. I was wondering if you would talk about the church's teaching on custody of the eyes and what help that will be in the battle against pornography in our lives.
Yeah, the custody of the eyes of is very important. As I mentioned before, that the eyes are the windows to the soul. It's somewhere in Scripture as well. And I can just take an example for the St. Maxwell Kolbe. Marytown is the national shrine of St. Maxwell Kolbe. And he had 750 young men. Average age was like 20, 21. So there was a lot of testosterone in that house, even though they were religious. And so the issue of chastity was very important for him, together with obedience. And he once he talks about it, as I've read it, and he says, don't think about the sin of lust as an end result when you commit the sin, but you got to think about it at the very beginning when you feel the temptation to lust, to look at something, or when you see it with an imagination and you're tempted to do something that is wrong. And he gives them an example, a concrete example by which they can actually think about this. And he says, imagine that you are like an altar server at Mass. and you're handling the thurible, which is the bowl with the incense, and there's a flaming charcoal, and one of those flames sparks out and lands on your clothes, on your habit. If you immediately brush it off, there's no harm done. But if you leave it for 2 seconds, it burns a hole, and your garment is ruined. And he says that's exactly what happens to our soul. All of us have the temptations to lust as well as other temptations. These temptations are not sinful themselves until we begin to freely embrace them. And freely embracing them is like letting them be on our garments, even for 2 seconds. And so with the temptation to lust, if you say yes with your will to even putting in a search engine something, you've already opened yourself and your soul to the evil one. And he begins then to enter inside through that hole and begins to damage you and begins to pervade that lust even further and further. Until your will begins to be corroded and destroyed more and more, and you end up actually acting it out. So it's very important to have the custody of the eyes, not just external eyes, but also the internal eyes of the imagination again. And to fight pornography, to prevent from this sin from having a hold, is to say no at the very onset with one's will to it, very gently. You haven't committed a sin, no need to feel guilt at the particular point, but say, no, this is not for me, this is not the kind of person that I want to be. I am a servant of the Lord. I want to live according to His will. So again, we're talking about pornography. If you want to call, our number is 224-585-9734. I can tell you as a priest at Marytown, we hear many confessions, hundreds of confessions every single week, and it is probably the most predominant sin that is confessed. And this is not among bad people. This is among good, God-fearing people. And you ask the question, why? I think a lot of time is because it's not talked about. It's not talked about from the pulpit. It's not addressed. People think it's private and therefore it's okay. And people don't realize the gravity of it. The church is very clear about that sin of pornography. If it is willfully engaged in, with full consent and knowledge, it is a mortal sin. It needs the sacrament of reconciliation in order for it to be removed. It does kill sanctifying grace. But the joyful thing is that the church is there as a source of healing for you. One of the things that the Holy Father has said, Pope Francis, in his letter that he sent for the inauguration of the Year of Mercy, he says that the church really needs to be like a spiritual field hospital, that it needs to receive the broken and the sinful hearted and begin to be a source of forgiveness and healing for them. And I'm absolutely convinced that in this life, Jesus Christ never comes as a judge. He never comes to condemn us. He only comes as mercy, as forgiveness, as unconditional mercy and forgiveness. So the first thing that one needs to do is to really avail themselves of the sacrament of reconciliation and begin to open this up to a priest. We have a phone call, so please ask your question.
Hi, Father. Good afternoon. Thank you for your comments already. I've been listening. For us parents, we're well aware of the immorality in dress and the whole, from the beginning, we're overwhelmed with the media and immodesty, so forth and so on, and to pornography and so forth and so on. What can parents do? How can you help them to avoid the children falling in this trap?
Well, the first thing is to make sure that mom and dad keep their hearts pure and that your own relationship, your marital relationship, is pure. There's also chastity within the marriage. Oftentimes, because you get married, a couple think that they can do anything with their bodies. But anytime you engage with each other in relationship with pure lust, you're not treating each other as whole persons to be shared with, but as objects of pleasure. So you have to make sure that within a marriage unit, you're also practicing marital chastity. The delight of sex is there as a God's gift for you. It's part of the promise. There's nothing wrong with it. It's beautiful. But it's a part of the total expression of your communion, becoming one body. And then from then on, we need to talk to our children openly about the evils of pornography as it is found on the internet and so on concretely. They know it. They know about it. The moment you can get their trust and say it's okay to talk about it, it would be better for them and for you. That's all the time we have. Boy, how quickly this time goes by for today on Healing of the Whole Person. We ask that you join us next Thursday at 3:30 p.m., and we will continue with the second part of it. Father Jim Curtin will be here talking about inner healing. So, again, we'll be able to take live phone calls and respond to your questions. Let's ask for God's blessings over us, and we especially pray over anyone that is addicted to pornography or who has family members who are. Lord Jesus, we ask that you may release them. We ask for your blessings upon all of us, and keep our hearts and our minds pure for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455. Or visit us online at WSFIradio.org.
Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.